Welcome, everyone, to the High Vibe Tribe podcast, part of HeartShift Radio. I'm Marcy Newman, your host, and I have a wonderful guest today that I actually just want to jump right into because I've had the most incredible experience of being able to meet her in person very recently, actually in the past month or so. So I want to introduce to you Mel Robertson. Mel, welcome.
Marcy, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here with you. And I just love our connection. And I love that we finally got to meet each other after you being on three of my shows since 2014. We've known each other. So what an amazing opportunity.
You know, I was thinking about this, Mel, the other day, really. Like, how many friends that I have a deep heart connection to that I have never met in person. And, you know, I remember as a child having pen pals, right? In our classrooms, often we would connect with children at other places around the world. And we would have these pen pal relationships that developed. And of course, you know, as a child, you don't have much to talk about and much to share, but it was just that connection. And I remember the absolute joy that I would experience whenever I would get that letter in the mail from somebody who I had never met, and yet through the exchanges, as limited as they were, I had such a deep heart connection to and actually felt like I knew them. So yes, to have the opportunity to come together and actually meet you after this relationship has been cultivating for so many years was such a highlight of my life. And especially in, you know, the midst of all of this pandemic craziness, right? To just have that opportunity was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And yet, of course, when I came into contact with you, I felt like I was just getting together with an old friend, like we had done it so many times before. So,
yeah,
it was really fantastic. But for our audience, I just want to share a little bit more about Mel and why it was so important for me to have her on this show. So Mel is a declutter expert. She's a coach and she's founder of Decluttering Spaces. So what Mel does is she gets her clients to start to live life from a clutter-free perspective. Now, of course, because Mel is also a healer and we're going to talk about that, this is physical, mental, and emotional. A lot of times we think that decluttering is just this physical action that we take to clean up our messes, but that's not it. And Mel is going to tell us more about that because she really believes that there is magic that happens when we create space. We're actually creating space for things to happen and experiences that perhaps we're more on the outside of our lives now have an opportunity to materialize in our lives, but not in physical way. So she talks about the happiness and the abundance that then is able to be generated in every area of our lives. So a little bit about Mel before she became a declutter expert. She was a cluttered, depressed, and suicidal adolescent. And quite frankly, nobody in her life thought that she was going to make it to see her 18th birthday. This metamorphosis is incredible. And now this freedom from clutter in her own life, she experiences happiness and abundance in every area of her own life. And this is how she is able to teach this to you. And it's also the big why. Because she has found how incredibly powerful this has been in her own life. And what it means to connect on a vibrational level to how you feel and how freedom ensues when you do get rid of the clutter, and how that happiness is just waiting for you, how the abundance is just waiting for you. And so I want to, I guess, officially welcome Mel in this area of expertise. And thank you so much for being here. I know you have so much to teach us. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction, Marcy. And again, it's just such an honor and a pleasure to be here with you and have an opportunity to share my story and my experience so that it can really help others. Because the only reason why I went through what I went through and do what I do is to be able to share my experience so that it can benefit others. So it does nothing if I can't share it.
Well, you bring up a really great point, because what I've come to understand as well is that what you're really describing is love, and that this energy of love is never complete until we share it, right? So love is a partnership. It's giving and receiving. And until we share, it cannot be complete. And so I believe, as you believe, that every experience in our lives, those that are monumental and those that are not so monumental, if there is an aspect of it that has shifted our perspective in life and we're able to shift into a higher vibrational frequency, this is what we're meant to share. So, of course, for me, I express this as a heart shift. But talk to us about the shifts that you personally experienced from that place of dense energy into this place of such light. Can you share with us, please?
Yeah, I'd be most happy to. First, I want to say just, you know, it was knowing, one of the things about that love that you were saying is, you know, it was knowing when I was younger that somehow, someday, my experiences would help others that actually kept me alive. And so that love from source and that love, just knowing that somehow, some way, this would benefit others really, really drove me to get through it and to do the work required that I needed to do in order to get where I am today. But a little background and backstory is that I grew up a really cluttered, messy kid. You couldn't see the floor in my room. I mean, there were two paths on the floor for me. I could get to my bed and I could get to my desk, but if you were to look in my space, there was nothing uncovered. And I also had extreme attachments to not only stuff and things, but to people, because I actually experienced a lot of trauma and loss growing up, you know, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, neglect. And then by the age of 15, I went through what I consider to be the dark night of my soul. And for me, that was losing my older brother. He was 20 years old. I was 15. Losing him to suicide. Then being the one to discover his body. Ugh. And in the same moment, in his suicide note, he left everything he owned to me. So a 15-year-old then had to, after the body was removed, come back into his home and be in that energy, in that space, and figure out what I was going to keep and what I was going to let go of and what everybody else could have. And at that point in my life, I pretty much shut myself down and went into a black hole, and things got pretty bad for me where I was like 90 pounds, tiny little thing. And I got kicked out of high school my sophomore year after that for being a danger to myself and others.
Whoa.
And I was told I couldn't come back to school until I received intensive therapy. And for me, what that looked like at 15 years old was I went and spent the next year and a half living in a residential treatment center for adolescents, away from my family, away from my friends, away from my school. And that's where I lived. I lived institutionalized. And unbeknownst to me, that's where the transformation would begin for me, because it was while I was living there that there was a therapist. She wasn't my therapist at the time, but she actually had covered for mine when she went on vacation. And she introduced me to yoga and mindfulness. She gave me my first book by Thich Nhat Hanh, The Miracle of Mindfulness. And she started teaching me yoga in our sessions. And she actually took me to the yoga center in the city that I grew up in and introduced me to the owner there, who then instilled more yoga principles and took me under her wing and allowed me to take care of the yoga center and be a part of it. And really what happened as a result of that is that I learned how to come home and be present in my body for all the stuff that I had been running from. It's what I call inner clutter. And as a result of traumas and losses and growing up with parents who don't come in with instruction manuals, you have repressed emotions, you have resentments, you have fears, you have limiting beliefs. And as I learned how to become present for all of that stuff, what happened was totally unexpected, because to be honest with you, I didn't care about the clutter in my life. I wasn't looking at it like, oh, I need to do something about this. I didn't want to live. So to actually try to organize my life was just not on my radar. But as a result of learning how to bring my presence to my life for all of this inner clutter and making space on the inside of myself, what started to happen was I spontaneously just started to look at the things that had accumulated in my life and started letting go of things gradually. Now, it didn't happen overnight. I didn't go from having this cluttered, messy room to someone who was, you know, totally organized overnight, but it did happen gradually over a period of about 12 years to where I got to the point where I actually loved creating order out of chaos. And so I went from this cluttered, disorganized, messy kid to someone who loved creating order out of chaos. And that's pretty much how I found this tool that I use, but I didn't actually start implementing it for a long time. My journey led me to, I thought, you know, I knew I was going to help people in my life, but I didn't, you know I was going to become a declutter expert. I thought, oh, first I'm going to be an energy healer, so let me take my Reiki training. Then I was like, oh, I can't really sit in a room all day with people, so I think I'm going to become a yoga teacher now. So took yoga teacher training, and then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that either. Then I thought I was going to, you know, become a martial arts instructor, so I started studying martial arts and got all the way through my brown belt, and no, I wasn't going to do that either. And then furthered my energy healing education and all of that. And I still didn't wind up doing anything with it. I was still working for someone else, but I knew that I was meant to do something bigger. I was meant to help people. My experience was meant to help others. And I got this amazing opportunity after practicing, the law of attraction. And I wound up manifesting a $50,000 check in my life. And that enabled me to take a 6-month period off where I kind of just figured out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And it was at that point where I was looking at, okay, well, I love creating order out of chaos, and I have this background in energy healing, but I don't want to be in an office with someone and do sessions like that all day long. I'm a very physical person. I was running a furniture delivery and installation company, like moving furniture all day long. I just can't sit still that long. It's just not for me. And at that point, I had watched the show Hoarders for the very first time in my life. And I don't know if you've ever seen that show, but it's absolutely horrifying to someone who is an energy practitioner, because they come in and they rip everything away from the person in like a 4-day period. Oof. Now, if you know anything about clutter, it's the person's Great Wall of China. It's their defense system, their protection. And when you come in and you rip it all away, you basically are re-traumatizing them and leaving them completely exposed and vulnerable. And then the show films, and then the show goes away, and then they're left with this new trauma, and they wind up basically recreating the clutter all over again, only it comes back worse than when it was in the beginning. And so that triggered me to want to create a company that actually helped people get to the root of the clutter so that it didn't get that way, but also to experience happiness and abundance in every area of their lives, because that's our birthright. And it's my belief that clutter is anything that stands in the way of you experiencing happiness and abundance in every area of your life. that's just the core of what I do.
All right. So I have like so many comments to make. But the first thing that I want to acknowledge is this level of self-awareness that you had as a teenager, that this somehow was going to benefit other people. And I'm bringing this up because for our audience, there, I believe, is this constant voice that is leading us, you know, one foot in front of the other, right? And it's just constantly saying, follow me, follow me. But for you in particular to be experiencing this world of such density, having experienced all that trauma, having this place of really being in such pain and the self-sabotage so deep, that to still be aware of this voice of light, I think is remarkable. And that you had the ability to trust that and keep going, not to take your life, and to understand, like almost from this place of, you know, altruistic experience. I have to say that that is absolutely remarkable, and particularly from a 15-year-old. So I want to give kudos to your guides, because they are some pretty powerful guides that that voice came through. And kudos to you for listening. And I want to thank you, you know, for following that voice.
Thank you.
And then also to have these realizations and to allow yourself to experience these different aspects of your own development. So, well, what if I do Reiki? Well, what if I do yoga? Well, what if I do this? You know, you bring up such an important aspect of what I believe life is meant to be. We are meant to be experiencing life. And so often, particularly as teenagers, it's like the hammer comes down. There is so much fear that we are going to get out of control, that it's almost like the adults around us just sort of want, out of their own fear, to clamp down and to really mold us into being and living in a way that they believe will make us happy and safe. And again, I have to say, for you to allow yourself to experience it differently and to give yourself permission, I'm starting to recognize this paradox about you, that even to allow that whole concept of yoga, meditation, to come to be taught to you during those, you know, times where you were trying so hard to get yourself together, there had to have been part of you that thought that you were meant to conform to the outside world, meant to, you know, do what everybody else was doing. So the conflict that had to have been going on when you then have this therapist is saying, well, what about this? What about that? And it's amazing to me to just see how this contrast has been so remarkably powerful in your life. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I mean, I really attribute it because I really feel that my life has been divinely guided. And my earliest memory of spirit coming into my life, my parents divorced when I was 4 or 5. And so I pretty much grew up only seeing my dad on Sundays. And I have this very distinct memory. My first memory of spirit coming into my life was I was hanging out with my best friend, and her dad were getting ready to go for a motorcycle ride. So we were standing in the parking lot and chatting, and they were getting ready to go, when just all of a sudden this knowing came over me that we're all brothers and sisters because we come from the same father.
Wow.
And that knowing has just been guiding my life. And it was just not even a year later that, because I wasn't brought up in church or anything like that. My parents didn't take me to church. But it was just probably 6 months to a year later my mother's friend from high school lived down the street from us, and she took me under her wing, and she started bringing me to church. So I grew up in a Christian church for a while, and, you know, developed a personal relationship with God through that. I wound up leaving the Christian church after they basically told me my brother was burning in hell for committing suicide. But that was the foundation, and I just knew that God was always with me, and I developed a really personal relationship with God from a really young age. And so it always had that guidance and that knowing just driving my life.
Again, remarkable. All right. So one of the things I want to talk about is the presence of self in your life. And how you know, when you made that choice to come into the presence of your body, to begin to release the energy that had been keeping, actually had been creating more density around you, what was that like for you?
I was trying to remember back when I was 15. It was definitely intense, and it wasn't easy, but it was just, I just knew it was necessary, and I was just following all the breadcrumbs of spirit, and I was just really blessed to have all these wonderful, amazing people take me under their wings, like being introduced to that yoga center. The owner of the yoga center took me under her wing, and then through that, I was introduced to shamanic healing and rebirthing work, and I started doing all this work with all these healing practitioners and really just diving into that darkness and being willing to let go, learning how to let go of those limiting beliefs. And it was challenging. It was absolutely painful. It's not for the faint of heart, but the only way that I got through it was just knowing that my life was divinely guided, and I was meant for bigger things. Like, my life was meant to share with others, and I had to get through this. So I was definitely, my life was fraught with drug addiction, and I really struggled with that for a lot of years. Even though I learned yoga and mindfulness, I struggled with addiction for a lot of years. I was a crack addict at 17 years old, and then I was homeless on the streets, addicted to crystal meth in my early 20s. So it took a lot of years of doing this work and getting me to where I am, and there was definitely a lot of resistance and fighting. But, you know, today I'm drug-free, and I'm just living an amazing life. And the more people just look at me like, you're just so present, you're just so clear. Like, I just clear and present, and it's just such an amazing place to be in now, when I didn't think I was going to make it past my 18th birthday, and I sure didn't want to be here.
I'm sort of struck with this concept of, you know, decluttering on the inside and, you know, how it affects the energy field. And of course, the energy field is, you know, the place where we are then projecting, you know, extending our energy out and starting that whole boomerang of energy return. And, you know, just listening to you describe your life and all of the challenges, you know, that you experienced, and yet every step along the way, it seems like spirit offered you options, brought people into your life who took you under their wing, who gave you a choice, you know, in terms of a different opportunity to experience life differently. And, like, where did you get the strength to make those choices? And I'm thinking particularly from this place of, you know, chemical addiction, which is so powerful because you become separated from those parts of you that are meant to guide you and, you know, encouraging you, calling you to come into your higher self. Was there anything in particular that created that bridge for you that allowed you to come back into that voice and connection to it?
I really attribute it to, you know, my connection with spirit and just developing that relationship so young. And even though I would be out using drugs, like I knew that, you know, that was not what spirit wanted for me, but I was struggling and I would still want a different life, but I couldn't change it at the time. And just that wanting and that desire to want something different, you know, gradually would lead to different people coming in my life and different opportunities. But the only thing I attribute it to is my life being divinely guided, because I'd say it over and over again. If I was left to my own devices, I'd be dead at least three times over.
Yeah.
At least three times over. Because when I was addicted to crack cocaine, I was sitting there, and I don't know if anybody knows what crack cocaine is like, but it's the epitome of addiction, because every time you take a hit, it lasts for like 15 seconds, and then you need another hit, and then you need another hit, and you need another hit, and it doesn't end. It's not like smoking a joint, and it lasts for a couple hours, and you smoke some more, or, you know, drinking a glass of wine. You literally will blow through over $400 in 20 minutes.
Holy
You'll just
geez.
Blow through everything. Yeah, it's absolutely the epitome of addiction. And I remember I was doing crack with my friend, and I would just sit on the bed, and we were just smoking it, and I remember praying, would this please be the hit that stops my heart? Will this please be the hit that stops my heart? Like, I just didn't want to be here anymore. And the only reason why I'm here is because I have bigger things to do. God has a bigger plan for me. And I've trusted that somewhere in the back of my mind, somewhere in my soul has been guiding me through those dark times. Because if I was left to my own devices, I would definitely be dead at least three times over.
I mean, what you're sharing with us is so powerful. And again, from this whole place of this constant, and I'm going to use again, you know, because it's such a perfect metaphor, is this decluttering process. So even in the midst of the addiction, even in the midst of actually taking the drugs, you had this sense that you needed to get out of it. You needed to let go of it. And even if it was your heart stopping, you were willing to make that exchange just to get out of what the clutter of beliefs and the energy residue of it had created within you. I mean, what you're describing is such a level of awareness. And because I know also in speaking with other addicts that very often the addiction is, as you described, regardless of the drug or the form, the addiction is the feeling good. And what you're saying, and again, I have to say how remarkable this is that every step along the way, even though you were doing it to feel good, you wanted to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And knowing, like I was such a sponge. Like once I was introduced to yoga and mindfulness, I became the sponge and started reading everything I could. And I would remember, it was like the 10 precepts in Buddhism, and like one of them, you know, non-harming and, you know, right speech and all these things. And one of them was to refrain from the use of heedless intoxicants, or refrain from the heedless use of intoxicants. And everything I read, I was like, I've got everything but this. Like, this is the one I can't get. This is the one I can't get. And remembering every time I would read it, like, this is my struggle. This is my battle, was being able to not use drugs anymore.
So what do you think was the first step in being able to do that? Because it's probably the same first step that other people need to take in order to declutter and to bring their energy back into flow again. What is that first step?
For me, when I finally got sober, off the crystal meth and was done, the first thing that actually started the process was I had moved to the West Coast and left my family on the East Coast. I left them 3,000 miles away, and being homeless on the streets, they always were worried that when the phone would ring, it was just going to be someone reporting to them that they had found my body. Sure. And finally, there was some awakening in me. Spirit awoke something in me, because at that point, I really didn't, for the longest time, I didn't really care. I left my family for a reason. I left them 3,000 miles away for a reason. And something finally came over me, and I just didn't want them to get that call. I just, at first, didn't want them to get to that call. So I wasn't actually getting sober for me at first. And at that point in my life, I had gotten myself in a lot of trouble. I was actually looking at 6 years in prison. I had been caught with possession of crystal meth, and I was driving under the influence, and I had the option of either doing treatment or going to prison for 6 years. And I had gotten kicked out of a couple of treatment centers, and I was really on the edge. They were going to send me away. And finally that awareness came over me that I just didn't want my parents to hear about me being dead on the streets. And that was the first movement was for that. And then after being in a treatment center for a little while, I started to actually want to get sober for myself. I actually wanted to stay sober. And for the first time in my life in a long time, I actually wanted to live. And I can't attribute that to anything else but spirit moving in my life, because I hadn't wanted to live for so long. And it was from that place of wanting to live that I started doing all the work necessary to get me where I am today. Doing the treatment program, you know, learning how to live a different life and all of those things.
So from that point of decision, which I call, you know, first it begins with acceptance about where you are. And then you have to have a willingness to change. You have to be able to do what you did. And that's everything that's necessary in order to create that change. So what would you say would be the time sequence there? Did it happen once you made that decision? I guess I have two questions. Time sequence, and also you talk about spirit led. Did you find that spirit accelerated its presence in your life when you said, yes, I want to do this?
Yeah, so the time sequence was once I realized that I didn't want my parents to have to hear about my dead body being found on the streets and me dying from an overdose, and decided to get into treatment and stay. It was probably a couple months of actually being in treatment before a shift started to happen. I was basically doing the requirements I needed to do to get off probation so that I could get back out and start getting high again. I just wanted to do what I needed to do so I could get the courts off my back, and then I could go back to living my life. And after a few months of being there and going to meetings and getting a sponsor and doing the work and opening myself back up spiritually again and starting to read and do those things just accelerated. And then I wound up, you know, becoming a role model in the community, and my life completely changed. It was then not long after that I started, you know, getting back involved in energy healing things and back involved in those kind of making new connections with people in that area and having people come into my life that raised my vibration and opened me to new things. And and definitely spirit sped things up. I actually had a tarot card reading while I was at the house. We had like a Halloween party, and there was a tarot card reading, and the reading that I got was basically that I'm going to have a lot of people that are following me, that I'm going to be influencing in my life. And that was the reminder of what I was here to do. And I just made the commitment to myself that I was going to do whatever it took to achieve that, what I came here to do. Like I knew, I was reminded that I was here to help people. My story was meant to help people. And I got super involved in the program. I was speaking at meetings and sharing my story. I started sponsoring people. I started running a group program where we did the steps in a different way. I took a group of women through the steps a couple times, this large group, and just got really involved in giving back and then the journey led to me then taking my Theta Healing training and eventually starting my own business. Just I think about, I got sober in 2004, and then it was 2013 that I wound up launching my business. So that was kind of the time frame.
Amazing transformation. Absolutely. You know, I want to bring up something that you mentioned before in terms of, you know, the people that came into your life. And we know from, you know, both practicing law of attraction and manifestation principles and understanding universal law and how it works, I also understand and have, you know, found this to be so true in my life as well. And that is that people that we draw to us at particular points in our lives are not necessarily there for the long run. And that sometimes the most difficult decision that we need to make for ourselves in terms of constantly needing to declutter our energy field requires us to let go of people. People who, you know, we have had deep relationships with at some point. People who we relied on to be our strength, to be our support. You know, people who were there in a very purposeful way. And yet we come to this place where we know that we have to step out of that relationship because it's encumbered by energy that created it that doesn't have the capacity to travel with us where we're going. Can you speak to that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Most definitely. You know, our life is filled with ups and downs, and yes, people come into our lives for, you know, seasons. And one of my most recent experiences, when I first got sober, I met my ex-wife probably 3 years after I got sober. And being someone who, you know, had a lot of loss and, you know, abandonment, I was severely codependent and attracted someone else who was severely codependent. And I wound up being in this relationship and basically shutting my light down in order to keep this relationship. Because when you have severe abandonment issues, you're willing to do whatever it takes to not lose a person, even if that means shutting yourself down, because the fear of abandonment is just so, so intense. And I shut my light down for quite a few years being in that relationship until I got to a point at about the year 2013, where I again didn't want to be here anymore. I was contemplating taking my own life. And I got to the place where I was like, okay, I'm either going to end my life right now and be done with this life and come back and start over in a new body, or I'm going to do whatever it takes to experience happiness and abundance in every area of my life because I know that's my birthright. And I obviously chose the latter, and when I did that, I knew that in making that choice, that eventually this relationship would dissolve. If she couldn't raise up and come with me and raise her vibration along with me, we would gradually grow apart and it would dissolve. Now, it took 2013 to 2019. It took 6 years for that to unravel, but as of last year, that relationship did unravel, and I finally had the courage and the willingness to step out of that relationship and step into my power. And once I call it decluttering my life of my ex-wife, once I did that, my whole life just skyrocketed. But I also needed that relationship at that point in my life because she was actually my greatest teacher. I suffered with severe abandonment issues, and even in the beginning of our relationship, I had such abandonment issues and such attachment that we lived in a studio, like 630 something square feet. And I would freak out with her just leaving the couch and going into the kitchen. I had such severe abandonment issues, like, you know, not paying attention to me. And that was very smothering for her. So it forced me to grow in that aspect of my life to where I don't have the codependent behaviors and I don't have the attachment like I did. I was able to dissolve that and really heal that through that relationship. And once I was able to heal that, I was ready to step out of that relationship. But it definitely served me for the purpose that it needed to serve me while I was in it and taught me the most amazing lessons of my life.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I think that this is a difficult aspect of so many people, particularly other healers, you know, other people in this field, because we have this tendency to believe that we have to take on the responsibility of everything, right? Somebody else's healing, somebody else's this, somebody else's that. And I know people describe this terrible guilt, you know, about leaving people who have been there in very supportive roles and have helped us to come to this next level. But what you're epitomizing is our not just ability to discern when it's time to let go, but that it's actually our obligation, because it's only until we come to this place of being willing to risk it all that we get to experience it all. Yeah. And this is such a powerful lesson, and it's one that each of us needs to take into our hearts. You know, and it's one also that we have to practice every single day. Sometimes every hour, every moment, right? We have to develop this like uber awareness, this consciousness of, you know, that's heavy. That is like, you know, a cement shoe I've got going on over there. And we need to, you know, turn this whole, you know, sense of obligation to an obligation to ourselves and to our higher selves, which is, you know, here to make our soul free so that we can expand and extend out into this universe with the gifts that we are here to share. And you have just done such an incredible job with this. And I am so excited for you. And I have such a deep appreciation for your journey and your willingness to share it, your willingness to be so vulnerable. And I'm sure that every person here is really understanding how powerful this processing is. So we need to like wrap this up somehow, because I could just speak with you forever about this. But so when you are working with a client, how do you express all of this? How do you lead them into their own journey?
The first thing I always try to teach my clients, and most people want to start on the physical, and sometimes it takes years to get them from the physical to being willing to do the inner. But what I always try to instill in my clients is the outside is only a mirror of the inside. So you can work on the outside all day long, but if you don't do anything about the inside, the clutter just keeps coming back. The toxic relationships just keep coming back. The things that you consume with your body don't change, you know, all of that. And so it's really instilling in them understanding that the outside is just a mirror of the inside, and that there's one key. And I tell my clients this all the time. If you just do this one thing and you get consistent about it, you will not need my services. You will fire me. And that is the only requirement to get free from clutter is your presence. Your presence is required. We spend our lives either avoiding what's uncomfortable and resisting it, or attaching and clinging to what feels good or what we're not willing to let go of, instead of simply allowing things to be as they are. And when I looked back at my life, when I started learning yoga and mindfulness, it was that art of allowing the moment, allowing myself to be present with whatever came up, whether it was resentments, whether it was, you know, pain and sadness, whatever was there, was allowing it to be present without trying to change it or fix it in any way. And because the outside is a mirror of the inside, when you start making space inside of yourself, the outside has to change. Because I try to get the visual this way, and you'll probably remember this from the series you were just on with me. But basically, we have you can imagine this huge like tube of light that comes into our body. It's our life force. It's not just our breath, but that's the access to happiness and abundance. And as life continues to happen and we get repressed emotions and we collect limiting beliefs and we have these resentments that we hang on to, all these things start to act as sludge in the piping. And it starts to limit that flow and close us off from access to the abundance. And so when you start to bring your presence to your life, you start to actually act as liquid Drano to your plumbing and start breaking away that sludge and reopening the channel. And one of the things I hear most often is that I don't have the organizing gene or I'm not a good organizer. Well, here's a little secret. The creator of the universe created order out of the Big Bang, and that's the energy that comes into your body. So once you make the space, we all have the ability to organize our stuff and declutter our lives, but we have to be willing to bring our presence to our lives and make the space. And I found that if my clients aren't willing to do that, we just work on the same surface over and over and over again until they are willing. My very first client worked with me for 4 years before she was willing to actually start doing the inner work and doing this process. I call it allowing the now. Instead of meditation or anything like that, it's just simply allowing the moment to be exactly as it is. And just after a year of doing that practice with me, I was coaching with her and going into her house. We did the combo program. She's like, I don't need you to come to my house anymore. And this was someone who couldn't get through a box of paper on her own. We were working together for 4 years. And then just 10 months after coaching with me, she didn't need my services anymore. So that's how fast things change when you become willing to bring your presence to your life.
Amazing, amazing, amazing work. What do you think the clutter is a symptom of, by the way?
It's just an external representation of what you're storing inside, you know? It doesn't matter what the clutter is. And I tell my clients this too. It's like, you don't even need to know why you have the clutter. Like, you don't have to dig. You don't have to do anything hard. You just need to be willing to be present and it will be revealed. Whatever you're ready to deal with will come up. It took years before I realized kind of what my core trauma was, which was a huge, you know, my mom abandoned me over and over again. But it took years before that came up in my allowing the now practice for me to face. So you don't have to go digging. You don't have to know why you're hanging on to stuff. You just have to know that the outside is just, you know, clutter accumulates because of our, quite frankly, our unwillingness to be present with it and look at it. And so it just reflects your unwillingness to be present with yourself.
Amazing. I can't thank you enough for being here. I know the impact that this interview is going to have on every single listener, and not just them, but the ripple effects of it. Your heart is so generous and compassionate and so loving. And you, again, you epitomize this journey of self-love, which of course is something that is near and dear to my heart. And the willingness to take the actions that it always calls for. You're very courageous, and you're brave, and you're strong and amazing. And I'm so honored to have had you here and to call you friend. So thank you so much. Any parting words that you might have for our listeners?
Just be willing to bring your presence to your life. Take 5 minutes a day and just sit still and close your eyes and allow whatever's there to be there. Whether your mind is racing a million miles a minute or you're feeling a tingling or a pain, it doesn't matter what it is. But just be willing to be present with yourself. And if you can do that for 30 days, you're going to notice huge changes in your life. Your presence is required. That's it.
I love that, Mel. Your presence is required. It's fantastic. Well, thank you so very much. And I want our listeners to know that, of course, Mel's information will be right here on her guest page. And Mel, do you have any way that people can contact you directly?
Yeah, they can just go to my website, decluttering spaces.com, and there's a little contact form that will pop up, or you can email me directly at info@decluttering spaces.com.
Perfect. And of course, please leave your comments, any questions that you might have from Mel or I. And we love to hear about how you are affected by what we share. This is why we are here. This is why we are doing this. And by the way, I want to remind everyone that this is our gift to you. You know, neither Mel or I are being paid for this. We are here to gift our experiences and to give you the support and encouragement to come into being present in your life. As Mel says, it's a requirement. And just know that we love you and feel that it's such a blessing to be here with you. Of course, for anyone who would like to contact me, you can do so also at heartshiftcoach.com or info@heartshiftcoach.com. And I look forward from the bottom of my heart to receiving you into my field. So blessings to you all. And until next time, I remain your heart shift coach. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.